Scout is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show.
928-854-5687. That's 854-5687.
Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is Wednesday, October 27, 2021. Should be a pretty good show today. We have Gordy Hall in the studio, first time on Speak Out. Welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
You know, you're awesome because you're a Cardinals fan.
There you go.
And you have Cardinals season tickets,
yep.
Which makes you my new best friend.
There you go. Yep, there you go. 16-0 or 17-0.
There you go. So Gordy is, for those who don't know, the principal. And the principal is your pal, that's how you know how to spell it, the principal at Thunderbolt Middle School. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's just amazing to be back here, back in Lake Havasu.
I think your mom was on last week.
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Yep. K-12, she's part of that foundation.
Monica Hall.
Yep.
Yeah, from the president of the K-12 Foundation.
Yep.
So that's like her pride and joy beside you.
Yeah.
and everything for Monica Hall. Anyway, Gordy Hall's here, Thunderbolt Middle School principal. We also, at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Scott Badekiefer, and Scott is with Sweetwater Trucking out of Sewickley, Pennsylvania. You're hearing so much about these supply side issues and how it's affecting the economy, prices, possibly Christmas. We don't know, but Scott's got the, what is that called? The 411?
Oh, yeah.
On all of that. This guy, man, we're really good friends, but he does research like you wouldn't believe. He sends me all kinds of articles and that, and he's probably listening online right now. We have a live stream going at KNTRtalk.com, and Scott will be on the show right around the bottom of the hour, and we'll get the scoop on that. But just because he's on the phone from PA doesn't mean you can't call in. Our number, of course, 854-KNTR-928-854-5687. And this is really funny because we're both wearing red.
Yep.
And it's not even game day,
yep.
Right? So anyway, yeah, tonight on the sports station, the Suns host the Kings. The Suns 1-2 right now, so they have a good shot at evening up their record tonight. That tip-off at 7 p.m. from Phoenix. And then tomorrow, it is going to be a big game, even though Devontae Adams is out. Last I heard, he's out for COVID protocol. He has to have two negative tests. Like so many hours apart, right?
Yeah.
Within 24 hours,
yeah,
to play. So their leading receiver for Aaron Rodgers and company possibly out tomorrow night. I wanted him at full strength.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so people can't talk smack. Well, you beat him without Devontae Adams. But anyway, Cardinals and Packers tomorrow night at 5. Are you going?
I'm not going to this one. I had to give this one away.
Oh, no.
It's a Thursday night.
You can't give away Cardinals tickets anymore. You can give away D-backs tickets,
yeah, yeah,
or Coyotes tickets, yeah, but you can't give away Cardinals tickets.
Well,
now,
we had a good friend that's celebrating her birthday, so we want to make sure that they enjoy it and have
cool
a good time. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Good birthday present.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice. Nicely done. And then Friday night, we'll round it out the week. Just with Friday, we'll get into the weekend probably starting on Thursday. But Havasu Fighting Knights hosting Estrella Foothills. the Wolves of Estrella Foothills, and the Knights have been Road Warriors. I don't know if you've been following it, but man, four in a row now. Three of those, I believe, on the road after the Golden Shovel game.
Yep.
And they are riding high right now, knock on wood, right, for the state playoffs. They're ranked number 11 right now in 4A.
That's
it's
awesome.
Either 4A or 4A2. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they went from 16 to 11 after the win on Friday, which they held. I don't know if you listened to the game, but they held on. Mm-hmm. And Stopke, who probably ran for 150 to 200 yards, he makes the interception at the end of the game, too.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing,
yeah,
isn't
it? Yeah, that's incredible.
Kid plays both sides of the ball really, really well. He's a ball hawk. Yep. Let's put it that way. So, and then you've got Cody Peloton. And the whole team is just gelling at the right time.
Yep.
And it's so good to see because there are a lot of underclassmen there.
Yeah. Yep. And Mr. Thompson, great coach. You know, he was actually my coach in baseball. So
really?
Yeah, shout out to Coach Thompson.
You played baseball?
Yep.
Not football?
No, not football, though.
Okay.
Baseball.
What position?
Outfield. Left
okay.
Field. Yep.
In left field?
Yep, there you go.
You weren't in right field?
No, not right field.
What was your place in the batting order usually?
Near the front. Leadoff guy, yep.
Speedy guy, huh?
There you go, yep.
Nice.
Stealing bases.
Way to go. Gordy Hall, the speedster on the base pass. Yeah. All right. Again, that's on our sports station. The Fighting Knights Friday night will be 94.3, 100.5, and 980 AM in Lake Havasu City. And the Fighting Knights will be more than likely only on the AM station and at KNTR Sports. .com. So we have a couple topics to talk about. You used to be a teacher. Was that at Thunderbolt also?
Yes. Yep. I started actually as a paraprofessional at Daytona, and then the two middle schools merged, and that's where I started my teaching career over there in science, seventh grade.
What do you mean by paraprofessionals merged?
So I was a paraprofessional, so I did a lot to help the teacher in the classroom work with different students, and then the two, actually, when Daytona closed, Thunderbolt, became the campus where all students went.
Okay.
And I was part of that, which was a great experience to bring both campuses together. And I was able to start my teaching career there. I really appreciate this community for giving me that opportunity just to get a step in the door and get to where I am today.
How did you make the jump to administration?
I actually taught here for 5 years, moved to Texas, in San Marcos, where I actually taught a couple years there, moved up to an instructional coach position, mm-hmm. was able to work on five different campuses helping coach science, teachers,
okay.
With curriculum and assessment writing and stuff like that, with different assessments. And then from there, I actually moved into the assistant principal role at one of the middle schools, the actual middle school where I started teaching there in San Marcos.
What kind of detail or knowledge is needed to do assessment writing?
So a lot of it involves, diving deep into the actual curriculum, figuring out, what key concepts need to be taught, and tried to master those, and then figuring out exactly do we have a valid assessment that goes with that, so that we can see our students' progress and make sure that we're supporting them in every aspect.
Oh, okay. So the assessment meaning for each student.
Yes. So for the students, they would complete the assessments and then we can gather data and then go from there on figuring out exactly what each student needs individually.
What kind of challenges do you face with your job as a principal at a middle school? That's got to be a tough age for not only students, but for teachers.
Yep.
That's a really tough age range right there. Everything changes, it seems like, on a weekly basis when you're, 12, 13, 14, right? But what does that mean for the principal as well?
I think just, making sure that you are supporting teachers, like as the leader on the campus, you're supporting teachers, but you're also looking too at what are we doing for students, We need to make sure that we are providing a high quality education for every student that walks through the doors, and make sure that they feel comfortable. That's a big thing. And I'll tell you, coming back to this campus, that is a huge thing. We have amazing people on that campus that know how to establish relationships with students, teach students about respect and kindness to one another. And it's a pleasure to be a part of, walking in and seeing the different systems that are already in place. And then also kind of stepping back and thinking about, okay, how can we make this better? And one thing I will tell you is that I'm very always open to communication with parents and all stakeholders as part of the campus, and I try each day to make it better. So.
The respect kind of resonates with me because I've seen bullying firsthand, and that in when I was in, you know, junior high and high school and that sort of thing, and I'm sure you see it as well. But how do you deal with bullying as an administrator when you see it going on? Or what are your prevention techniques?
So a lot of it, I think, is getting down to why it's happening, right? And talking about with those students, like, hey, this is not okay, you know, and making that clear to them, you know, as we move forward. Because, you know, they are learning in middle school, you know, the social aspect of being on a campus again is really important. And we just need to make sure that they understand what things should be said, can be said, what things shouldn't be said.
Sure.
To people, and then make sure that they know when they go out in the real world, you know, what are some things that we can say, what are some things that we can't say, and how do we treat people, right? And we don't know where everybody comes from, what experiences they've had, but we need to always, you know, always be nice to people and say kind things to them. And so that's a key focus at Thunderbolt is to make sure that they know kindness is the new cool, basically.
That's cool. And I think kids need to realize, too, that not all parents had to deal with COVID the same way. So your family may have been impacted financially. And we all know that, you know, sometimes finances lead, or a lack of, lead to bullying. And there's got to be an awareness there as well.
Yep. And so as we get a little further into this, we're going to be having Rachel's Challenge again. And we're going to be hitting on, you know, what you say to different people and how that affects people.
Great segue, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. you know, if you come to our campus and you look around, you'll see handprints of students and staff, and those are students and staff members that have taken that challenge to be nice to people and to use their words in a kind way. So really excited to be a part of that. That was something that I wasn't able to be a part of before because mm-hmm. I moved away, but I can't wait to experience it and see what it's all about. So
tell me what Rachel's Challenge is. How did it what are the origins of Rachel's Challenge?
It came from a girl that had experienced some issues. You know, she went through a hard time. She wanted something that could be passed on and remembered so that people, you know, realize what they say to people does make a difference sometimes, you know. And so, you know, as we go through this program, it's just about making our students aware and making them know that, we, you know, we do have support on campus, too, to help with difficult situations. You know, we have some great counselors. You know, we're here on campus. The teachers, with their relationship building, they can always go to them. But it's just making them aware and then taking that challenge, you know, to be nice to people. Because at the end of the day, you know, you don't, like I said, you don't know where people have been. You don't know what they've been through. We need to approach each person with respect and kindness.
So, how old is this program?
I believe... I'm not sure exactly on okay. the number of years, but I can tell you that, you know, like when you walk in there, you see the banner that everyone has signed. It's something that is really important to the campus, and it actually has spread more than just our campus. It's actually gone to other schools.
Sure,
district-wide.
In the district,
yeah,
sure.
So it's a program that was started not too far back, you know, due to COVID,
yeah.
You know, things I don't think happened last year. But we are moving forward with it, and we feel that it's really important that kids know.
Is this all year, or is there a certain month that Rachel's Challenge is observed? How does that work?
Yeah, so there's a certain month when we have the actual assembly and we do the handprints and everything like that. There's like build up to it. Obviously, we're doing different things with our counselors and people on campus as well that kind of lead up to that. So that's kind of how it works. We lead up, and then we have this big assembly. And then we go through, like I said, the handprinting and taking that challenge of being nice to each other as we move forward.
You have grades 6, 7, 8, correct?
I have just 7th and 8th.
Just 7th and 8th?
Yes.
So how do the newer students that are just coming into Thunderbolt, how do they take to this type of program?
I think, like I said, I think that some of them have familiarity with it.
Okay.
They've experienced it before.
Oh, from their other school.
Yeah, from
right,
their other schools,
right.
Just kind of talking about it and what it is. And so... You know, it helps that vertical alignment and being aware of, you know, as you move up, us being on the same page with that. So it's great as a district to see that across several campuses. But again, I think just the different things that we do throughout the school year to try and get kids to be kind to each other. You know, we have kindness links that we give out to students that are doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. We just have our PBIS, which is our positive behavior interventions and supports that we're getting into. Where students actually have their own bingo boards and they take them around.
What?
Yeah, they take them
wow.
around campus, and as teachers see something that, you know, that a kid does right, we reinforce that by signing their board, and then they hand those in as they complete them. So it's a really cool way to positively reward and, you know, and let kids know that when they're doing the right thing.
Right,
so we just
right.
started that.
Before we go to break, I have to throw this in there, but the trip to the principal's office, I didn't really get to experience it a lot. I was an honor student, but maybe later on when I got senioritis, but, is that still the cliche though? Is there still that trip to the principal's office? We're going to, you know, call your parents and that sort of thing, or you have to have those types of conferences. How does that work, and the conflict resolution, how does all that work?
So we have, you know, kids that are sent down to the office, and but I always have a conversation with them about what had occurred. I always get their side of it too. You know what I mean? Make sure that they're, you know, they have their chance to let me know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of go from there, on like, how do we become better? What do we do that maybe won't get this teacher upset and you sent out of the classroom? So it's a lot of conversation, a lot of, you know, like, what can we do to prevent this from moving forward? How can we be better in the classroom?
So speaking of which, investigation wise, do you have cameras involved with that?
Yeah, we do have surveillance.
That's an advantage
from
30 years ago.
Yep.
Nice.
So surveillance, obviously, but I think the big thing is, which I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job with, is establishing relationships with kids and them understanding, you know, like when there's an incident, you know, you may be talking to me or Ms. Black. And Ms. Black, just so you know, Jennifer Black is very supportive, has been great from day one, and I can't thank her enough for everything that she's done for me. So.
Oh, very cool. All right. Back with more in a moment. The genre du jour is country, thanks to Gordie Hall. And going to play some Minimum Wage from Blake Shelton. You suggested Blake Shelton, so definitely go with Blake today. And we'll be back with more. Gordie is the Thunderbolt Middle School principal. Later on in the show, we'll welcome in Scott Badekeeper from Sweetwater Express Trucking Company. And we'll be getting a supply side issue update from Scott. And what it's going to take to get some Christmas presents this year, right? Don't cancel my Christmas, man. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Stay with us on Speak Out. I love that part.
Yeah.
Great song. Little Blake Shelton, Boys Round Here. And Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Also, Patio Paradise, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Springberg Wealth Management, Better Business Bureau. Thane O'Brien was spot on, assisting with credit card transactions for any size business. Call Thane at 928-706-2784. That's Thane What a Guy O'Brien. T. O'Brien at spoton.com. T. O'Brien with an E at spoton.com. And Kevin Barbarita and Barbarita Realty Consultants, our newest sponsor. They have over 35 years in the Laughlin community, located in the Laughlin Town Center. Visit Kevin's website at laughlinnevada.net. Don't forget, we stream live at kntrtalk.com, so if you're in your car, you can get back to where you're going that has a computer or your cell phone. And tune to KNTRTalk.com and listen to us live, or we stream there as well with the archives. Really good show yesterday. I don't know if you caught it, Gordie. We're talking with Gordie Hall. He's the Thunderbolt Middle School principal, but Allo Communications is a new internet service provider coming to town, and we got the whole ball of wax. Everything you need to know about Allo and more is on our archive.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, check that out. So, you wanted to talk about sports and a return to sports teams at Thunderbolt.
Yes, that is correct. I mean, it's exciting. If you had an opportunity to come out and see some football, volleyball, some cross country so far this in the fall here, just amazing to see kids. It's great to see kids back out and competing. I want to give a shout out to the football and volleyball team, obviously, for making the playoffs, and the cross country for bringing home some ribbons. So amazing start. We're going to have basketball and Spirit Line in the winter. track, baseball, and softball in the spring. We also have our clubs, which is really awesome. Student Council, NJHS, Interact, we're happy to have that back. That's with the Rotary. Four Club, STEM, Art, and ETC is actually going to be taking a trip to Florida. So, pretty cool
I am
stuff.
All about sports programs in any level of school, whether it's elementary. It used to be in elementary school when I was a kid. Junior high, middle school, high school keeps kids off the street. But you were talking about football.
Yeah.
Isn't that a little I'm not talking about the hazards of football, but what about the equipment? Where does the school get are we talking about flag football?
No, we're talking tackle.
With helmets
yes.
and pads and
yep.
wow.
So the program was actually started by Mr. Zampona. He's the athletic director of the high school. It's a great program for middle school so that they can get started to be able to be on the high school team.
Absolutely. It's a good feeder program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he actually used to teach with me and actually helped put that together, which was really cool.
And then cross country teaches a lot of self-discipline mm-hmm. When it comes to running distance and that. It's not a team sport.
Yeah.
Obviously, although you're on a team, mm-hmm. it's more of an individual effort. So there's a lot of self-discipline there.
Well, what else is cool is, that helps you with any sport, too. You know, I mean,
yes.
learning how to run and
endurance.
Yep, endurance and stuff like that.
Training,
so, yeah.
learning the muscles and how to stretch. Yeah. And, yeah, good point. Yeah. Very good point. But the clubs, what clubs are we talking about?
So we got, obviously Student Council, NJHS, Interact we brought back. That's with the Rotary Club's help. They're a huge part of that. The Four Club actually goes with Rachel's Challenge, about kindness. So we put that together. The STEM Club actually is another one that started this year with the help of the K-12 Foundation. They actually helped fund that.
Mm-hmm.
The Art Club, and then ETC, where they take a group of kids to Florida, to have that experience. So,
any consideration for a Builders Club, which is Kiwanis?
I haven't. That'll be something, first year here.
I'm a Kiwanis, so I'll see what I can do to send some outreach over to Thunderbolt Middle School.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, that's
right.
A big thing, man. Parent community is number one for me, getting people on our campus again and making sure that we're doing as best as we can for all students here.
Sure.
It's exciting.
Perfect. Now we have Key Clubs, that's also Kiwanis, mm-hmm. at, what is that? Telesis and uh-huh. and LHHS.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, the Key Clubs at both. Okay. And they come to meetings, too.
Yeah.
They come to the Kiwanis meetings.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, they're well represented. Uh-huh. Anything else we missed before I go to break?
I think the only other things would be, we're obviously going to have some community nights coming up. I welcome people to come check it out. We're going to have an exploratory night on February 24th.
What is that?
So all of our exploratory teachers, our PE, our art, our, career and tech, our music, all of those teachers are going to have a night where the community members can come out and check out our track, our new track, our field, our everything, and experience some different hands-on activities. We already had our ELA and social studies night. And then we also have a science and math night on April 6th. The goal is to do things related to that, get people involved, and then also if there's any community members that are interested in being a part of that, don't hesitate to reach out to us, and we're always looking to bring people in to be a part of that.
Wow, fantastic. So, are you the first year principal then?
Yeah, this is my first year back.
Wow, how exciting.
So, yeah, it's
bringing
it's
in
awesome.
all new programs
yeah.
and everything's growing, and it's like a rebirth after COVID.
There you go. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations on the new post.
Thank you.
And all the best. And we'll have to have you back on the show sometime soon.
Sounds good.
And, of course, Monica Hall invited anytime. Great guest.
Yeah, there you
go. K-12 Foundation. All right, Gordy Hall, thanks for the music suggestion as well. He's a big Florida Georgia Line fan and my new best friend because he's a Cardinal season ticket holder.
There you go.
So that's perfect.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you.
You bet. Go Cardinals. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
All right. Stay with us. We'll be back with more. We'll get a transportation update from Scott Badekeefer. He's a Landstar agent, and from Sweetwater Express Trucking in Pennsylvania. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
This is how we roll. We hang around, singing and everything on the radio.
perfect trucking song for you, Scott. Right?
Works for me.
All right,
yes,
little Florida Georgia line for our next guest, Scott Badekiefer from Sweetwater Express, and he's a Landstar agent. Speak Out, brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Connected Computer and Technology, Mojave Community College, GDK CPA LLC, SamsGuns.com, Herb's Herbs, SunPower by Esme Electric, and by Bobby Lewis and the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty with his wife Julie Lewis, Brian Vesley, and Lori Rule. And, of course, Scott Badekiefer, no stranger to the program, and probably, you know, I know a pretty big Pittsburgh Steelers fan who, owns the mothership here, but I think you have to be a bigger Steelers fan. Maybe not for as long, though. You're just a bit younger, but you live in Sewickley, Pennsylvania, which is like right next to Pittsburgh, so.
I think it's as I've said before, it's kind of in the blood. When you're raised here, there are very few defectors. There really are.
I've noticed that.
It's just a normal thing here.
I hate to compare you to Cowboys fans, but that's the comparison I'll make. So there you go.
It's okay. I mean, back in the day, Art Rooney said, we do not want to be America's team. We want to be our team. And we let them have that label, so it's all cool.
Wow, great quote, by the way. Let's start with fuel prices. The increase in fuel prices across the board, especially for truckers and the transportation industry, that affects everything. That it affects especially inflation and the higher prices that we're paying at the store, at the pump, everything. What's your take on fuel prices?
Well, okay, first off, and we've talked about this before, well-established transportation companies and trucking companies have a fuel surcharge that they add to their regular line haul. And the fuel surcharge is based off of the Monday reports from the Department of Energy. So every Monday the carrier gets a release, and we have a fuel surcharge chart that our customers are aware of, and some of our customers actually have their own, but that fuel surcharge is added to the cost of the transportation. And it was based off of back in the day when the fuel got up above about $1.50 a gallon, the trucking company said, hey, we need to do something to curtail some of this additional cost. And so that's when the fuel surcharge program started. But let's talk about, you know, West Coast, Rocky Mountain, Gulf Coast. We're talking about regions.
Yes.
The national average for a gallon of diesel fuel right now is $3.67 a gallon. Okay.
Okay. What was that compared to a year ago?
Well, a year ago, you're probably looking somewhere in the mid to high $2.90, $2.80, $2.90, depending on where you are. But that being said, when we look at, you know, we're obviously gauging towards West Coast and California.
Yeah.
The West Coast average price for fuel is $3.86 a gallon. So that's 20 cents more. The West Coast pad is $4.22 a gallon. That's the focus areas closer to the coast. California itself, the average price of diesel fuel is $4.53 a gallon.
Ouch.
So that's nearly 90 cents a gallon higher than the U.S. national average.
I got you. So what about the East Coast, though? How does one coast affect the other as far as fuel prices go?
Well, the East Coast has it a little easier, and a lot of the fuel obviously comes out of the Gulf Coast. So the Gulf Coast has the cheapest fuel. Right now, Gulf Coast fuel is $3.42 a gallon. East Coast is $3.65, which is only 2 pennies off of the national average.
Okay.
It's the West Coast that gets hurt the worst just because of where they are and the demand for energy on the West Coast.
So how does that relate to what you do, like, say, with Landstar? You have to compute all that in with what's going to be paid for freight?
Exactly. That number is actually paid, is charged to the customer, And the fuel surcharge itself is actually, with Landstar and most carriers, the fuel surcharge itself is actually a 100% pass-through to the driver or the owner of the truck.
Oh.
So that money goes directly to them. So let's say that the rate is $3 a mile and the fuel surcharge is 40 cents a mile. That 40 cents a mile gets taken right off the top and is paid directly to the owner of the truck or the owner operator, or the, you know, so that that pay goes directly to the cost of fuel.
I see. Scott, we have a phone call. Let's bring in our caller.
Sure.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi, the price of fuel, wholesale price of fuel is printed in our local Havasu newspaper almost on a daily basis. And it's fairly easy to keep track of the wholesale price for us locals here. So I was just wondering how much the price you're paying seems to vary a lot from what the wholesale price is. And that price it says in the paper is delivered price. I'm curious as to how there's such a disparity between what's being put in the paper and what's actually being charged at these places.
That's a really good question, Kenny. Could you hear that, Scott?
I did, and it's a very good question. Now, here's the thing that you do not see. That wholesale price for a gallon of gasoline is X, and I don't have that number in front of me because I'm concentrating on diesel, obviously, with this show. But you have not added the pump price for the reseller, the person wherever you're going to buy the gas. Those places really have a nominal fee. I mean, we're talking probably 3-5 cents a gallon in some places. And because what they're doing is they're selling gas to try to get you into their store to buy all their other stuff, including their sandwiches and their soda pop and all of the other stuff that they have there, their coffee and whatever. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that you don't have on there is the taxes. And there are taxes on top of that fuel. And it, depending on which municipality, which state you're in, those taxes are added on. Here in Pennsylvania, I think we're top five in states with the highest taxes. Now, Nevada is a little different and Arizona is a little different. So it all depends on where you are. But yes, that price that you're talking about, wholesale price of gasoline, does not include those other charges.
Oh, okay. Are you still there, Kenny?
Yes, thank you. I'll listen off the air. Thank you very much.
All right, you bet. All right, so we kind of covered fuel prices pretty thoroughly there. What about what's happening in the ports? Now, we know Florida has control over theirs. Do the states have control over the ports? How much does the federal government have when it comes to port access by these ships that are basically parked off the coast? Off the West Coast specifically.
You got to remember two things. Obviously, the reason why Los Angeles, there's two ports in Los Angeles. There's Long Beach and there's Los Angeles.
Okay.
And each of those have multiple terminals within each facility. Now, because California is the closest to the Asian market, they bring in 40% of most imports come through there. So that's a lot of our economy that's being imported comes through those two ports. But here's the really interesting part of it. When we had COVID start and they basically stopped all the ships coming in, it did a slight backlog. And I think when you and I spoke before, it was maybe 20 or 40 ships. Now we're looking at close to 100 ships sitting out there. And it's not as though they're not offloading them as they usually do. But you have to understand one thing about the ports in Long Beach and Los Angeles. They do not work 24 hours a day. They only work their limited hours.
Right.
And so you have a situation where there's a backlog there because there's so much product coming in, and there is just not enough time in the day to get them all taken off the ship, stripped, or loaded onto chassis. The other part is because there's such a volume of containers there, there's a shortage of chassis because the chassis go out on the trains, the chassis go out on the trucks, and they got to get chassis back before they can load more containers out. So that adds to the other side of it where you have a lot of these containers now being taken to warehouses, being stripped, which means they're emptying them from the containers, and then they're transloaded to a truck to be transported to wherever the market is, where they're going to. So it's a change in a lot of the regular operations. Now, the Biden administration did say, quote-unquote, that they brokered a deal with the ports over there that they would operate 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not completely true. And the reason why is you can't just turn the switch on. The ports of Los Angeles, you're talking about the port workers are, I mean, they're making like between $170,000 and $250,000 a year.
They're long.
So they're getting paid.
They're longshoremen. Correct? Is that a union?
Yeah. Okay. It's a union job. But you can't just go out and hire a bunch of union guys to fill in a 24-hour shift.
Not if the union has anything to say about it.
Right. And not only that, you also cannot, the scalability of it with changing the logistics and the 24-hour manpower of the supply chain and,
right.
and all of those things have to be changed. In the United States, a lot of our ports aren't 24-hour ports. Around the world they are, but here in the United States, a lot of it is run by unions, so the unions don't necessarily like doing 24-hour shifts. They like straight 8-to-5 jobs, you know, so that the working man has a regular life outside of their work job.
Right.
But now, when the president put a signature on this, so we're gonna have these people work 24 hours a day, it was a pilot program that was started by one of the 7 terminals in Long Beach, and basically they're trying it out. So it's not like it's happening everywhere.
It's only
happening in one terminal in one of the ports.
I see. And, you know, the administration also spun it as a driver supply issue, that we have a shortage of 18-wheeler drivers. And I'm sorry, Scott, I've talked to you for the last 3 years, even when I was host on the other show, when we had a shortage of drivers. That shortage has been going on for a long time. So does that just add to the perfect storm here?
It is a perfect storm. It's poor planning. It is a situation where you don't have the flexibility that you wish you had. And again, we talk about drivers. We also talk about the longshoremen. We speak about trying to put people into these positions. These are skilled laborers. These are people that have to be trained. They can't just be thrown, you know, behind the machinery. They can't be put up in a crane. They can't be running a truck. They have to be trained and they have to be qualified to be able to supply the services that we need. And again, I've talked to you recently about the cost of transportation out of California. Right now, it is going crazy. Now, I've seen it actually drop a little bit in the last few weeks, but we were talking about, in some cases, the freight rates doubling out of California. Mm-hmm. Just because the customers, basically the clients and the suppliers, needed their products so bad, they were competing for the equipment to try to get their stuff out as fast as possible. So they were having to pay the high dollar to get it out of there.
So all that trickles down to you and I as consumers, obviously. So let's talk.
Yeah, that's the true trickle-down economics.
Right,
that is the
right.
True.
So let's talk about what we've heard so much in the news. We have about 5 minutes left. We're talking with Scott Badekiefer. He is with Sweetwater Express in the Three Rivers area in Pennsylvania. And he's also a Landstar agent, so he knows a lot about this topic. We're hearing the term supply chain a lot, and we're less than 60 days from Christmas. So even if they got this fixed, so to speak, would it be enough to fix it before Christmas so that we don't have uninterrupted shipments to stores?
Unfortunately, no.
That's what I thought.
And the reason for it being is, right now, we've got another issue that COVID created. We have a lot of people now afraid to go to stores. They're doing online shopping, mm-hmm. so they're stressing the system that way. We have a lot of people who are wanting that one special gift, but that one special gift is either held up in customs or it is sitting on a container ship. I'm sure there's a lot of people that still wish that they had a PlayStation 5, and it's not coming anytime soon because they've basically been sold out in many places and people can't get their hands on them. Now, again, if you paid the right price, if you had it air freighted and it's not actually going in a container and it's coming across in an airplane, and maybe, yeah, you could probably get stuff that you need, but people need to plan, and they need to plan ahead. They need to plan now. And I'm not saying, you know, go out and, like, scour the stores and take everything off the shelves, because that's the other thing that is created in a supply chain situation. You have people going out on those rashes of buying toilet paper and disinfectant wipes and all that other stuff, and they stockpile it, and then they never use it.
Right.
But the problem is that there are other people that never got to the store who now have no toilet paper, or they don't have any sanitary wipes, or whatever the situation is. We don't want people. There is plenty of supply as long as everybody takes what they need. And that's the big thing. We got to work together through this. It's a new way of looking at life, and people need to realize that, you know, people are still yelling about, you know, they want their 2-day Amazon deliveries. Well, remember, there's a supply chain problem here. You have to be a little bit more understanding of what's going on out there.
Right. So I'm getting off the transportation issue just a bit.
Sure.
I know you're
a
big football fan, and I'm a big football fan, literally. We're both big, literally, football fans, right?
So, I wish I was smaller, but anyway, go ahead.
I think it was 2008 or 2009. I sat in this very room and interviewed you from Pennsylvania when the Cardinals played the Steelers in the Super Bowl. And what do you make of the Arizona Cardinals right now? Are you following this team at all?
No, I am. I mean, I think the country is. They have to be. I mean, we're looking at an undefeated team. We're looking at a team with a bunch of weapons and a strong bunch of players that are putting together, you know, something that's very special.
Right.
Now, that being said, I never discredit him, but I always called your quarterback the water bug, because he seems like he's able to run around and turn and spin and do things. He's very quick on his feet.
Can I stop you for a second? We call him Ted because he looks like that stuffed animal from the movie.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, true.
Anyway,
hopefully he doesn't swear that much. But anyway, but no, really, seriously, you guys are in a great position. Now, here in Pittsburgh, we are suffering through a season of questions.
Yes.
And part of it is our quarterback, and part of it is, you know, our leadership and whatever. But no, embrace it. I know the Steelers ripped your heart out in 2009.
Mine and Kurt Warner's.
yeah. Well, you both went along with really nice careers afterwards. So
there
it's
you
okay.
go.
But all that being considered, football is a very embracing sport for the whole country,
right.
and there's so many people involved in watching it. Yeah, it's the Arizona Cardinals' time right now, and I wish you guys the best. It would be nice to see the Steelers make a run for it and come out of this second half of the season and maybe meet them in a Super Bowl. That would be incredible. But I guess we'll have a radio show on that if that ever happens.
Well, Tomlin's certainly capable as a coach. So I really appreciate your take on that. And you were telling me that game back in, I believe it was 2009, was one of the most watched ever for Super Bowls?
At the time, it was the most watched Super Bowl ever. And it is ranked as the number one Super Bowl ever played as far as the NFL Network, and it is ranked number 4 as the top 10 greatest games of all time for the NFL.
Well, I still have a Santonio Holmes voodoo doll, so there you go. All right, Scott Biddekiefer, thanks so much for your insight on the industry from Sweetwater Express, of course, and a Landstar agent, and I have to say the words, Swickley, Pennsylvania, right?
That's correct. Yes, you are correct. Well, I appreciate the time, and I thank you for asking me to come on.
Oh, you bet. Always. We'll talk to you in a few months when hopefully all this is over.
All right. Be safe. Take care.
Thanks, Scott. You too. All right. We'll come back with a final segment in just a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. I'm Paul LaVoy. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. You know what that means? Carl Douglas and Kung Fu Fighting. That means Karate Man is up next. Sean Hannity after news and a short break. Tomorrow we'll have Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. And Friday, of course, the updates from James Jarman and company over at Mojave Community College. All right. Until then, I'm Paul Lavoie. Take it safe. Just living the dream here in Lake Havasu City, as always. Again, Hannity is up next. The Karate Man, preceded by Fox News. Join us tomorrow on Speak Out.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.